I like reading Billy Graham's column every day in the newspaper. Maybe some of you read it too. You know what I'm talking about if you do. People write in, they ask him questions about the Bible, about life in general, and he always gives a good answer, straight from the heart, and very good. I just love the man, even if he is a Southern Baptist. My wife is a Southern Baptist, and I still love her, so. But they can't all be perfect like us Presbyterians, I realize that. But the questions that they write in to Billy Graham are often simple and naive, and to where I have to stop and remind myself often that a lot of these folks who are writing the questions aren't really students of the Bible. They aren't believers, really. So we should never be too quick to judge their shallowness or how deep their questions are, because that's how you learn. Just like I was talking here this morning earlier, that's how you learn. You ask questions, you look for those answers, and you wait for those answers. Here is an actual question that was from a recent Billy Graham column. It says, "Dear Dr. Graham, why didn't Jesus flee once he knew his enemies were out to get him?" If that's for me, tell him I'm busy. Why didn't Jesus flee once he knew his enemies were out to get him, instead of openly appearing in public and almost daring them to arrest him? Why didn't he just flee? Well, as Christians, of course, we all know that answer. But many people look upon the Bible as strictly a history book. They look upon Jesus as just another character in that history book. And they ask these questions because they don't get it. They don't understand. And they don't believe. And some so sadly look upon the Bible as a book of fiction even. I remember one of my first revelations when I learned that other people didn't necessarily think and feel as I do about everything. I was a sophomore in high school, all of 14 years old, and one of my all-time favorite teachers taught this class called Creative Writing. And I was just fascinated by this man. This teacher was young and fresh out of college. He was a modern day orator, and he would walk the room while he taught, and his tweed sport coat would flap in the wind, and he would talk and teach, and we all were just hypnotized by him. He was cool. He was everybody's friend, and we liked him. And one day, as he was strutting all around the room, giving off his wisdom with such flourish, he got to talking about writing different things, writing history and religious writers, and religion came into it. And someone in the class, it wasn't me, I'm sorry to say, but someone said, "Hey, what about Jesus?" And he stopped for a minute and he paused and he thought. He said, "I think Jesus was a great man." Wow. I had to let that sink into my 14-year-old mind for just a second. I think Jesus was a great man. What exactly did he mean by that? Well, I came to the conclusion at that moment that although I agreed with him that he was a great man, I could see that what he wasn't saying was more important than what he was saying. Because what I was hearing from that was, yeah, I think he's a great man. I think he was a prophet. I don't necessarily believe in him. I don't think he was the Son of God or anything like that. And that was a very telling moment to me. I also learned a lot more that day. I learned that I could like this guy, that I could respect him for his talent and his knowledge. I could learn from him. But I would know that there would always be an important wedge between us. And the most glaring and dividing wedge two people can have between them. There will always be political wedges between you and your best friends and your family. There will always be social wedges between people, and intellectual wedges, and class wedges. That believer, non-believer wedge, though, That's the one that leaves the biggest hole. Have you ever run into someone, and I'm betting you have, you have a religious wedge with someone that you really cared about? Maybe they had a different religion that affected your friendship, your relationship, or maybe just a different philosophy inside of religion. Of course, all Christians believe in the cross and the resurrection, but there's those little tidbits and rituals and tenets that dig into certain scripture. And of course, that's how denominations are born, and that's just fine. But have you ever experienced someone you cared for who just didn't believe at all? I had a good friend earlier in my life. He was raised in the church. Church of the Brethren, matter of fact. Wonderful denomination. But somewhere along the way, he lost his faith and maybe truly never had it. I don't know. Or maybe he did. I certainly won't get into that once saved, always saved controversy this morning. Maybe another time. But this friend of mine became a non-believer. Or so he said. I often thought that he took that stand just for the attention that it gave him. But you know, you can never really be sure. You can't tell whether a believer or non-believer. Not really, because we can't know their heart, so we can't know in absolute certainty. Only God can do that. And that's really all that matters in the end. But near the end of my friend's life, he lost his eyesight. And my brother and I used to go and take him out for little trips and jaunts. And I used to go to his house and just sit with him. And he would love to expound and rail against organized religion and everything that he once believed. And to be honest with you, I'm sorry to say, I didn't make much headway with it. Well, he died, and I have to assume he died outside of any faith. Though I'm not totally sure of that even. I think a lot of his ranting was for the rise and the reaction that he got out of people like me. And it was never really, truly from his heart. Or maybe that's just what I wanted to think. How would I ever know for sure? I went to his funeral. I stood with his family. And I've gone back to his grave a number of times by myself and just stood with him. And I don't know to this day. There was a wedge between us, and I only pray that it wasn't all real. And those non-believers who write to Billy Graham and ask him, why didn't Jesus just flee to keep himself from the cross? Well, non-believers just aren't aware of the reason he came to start with and why he didn't run. Is not the right question. In our scripture here this morning, the disciples just got through watching Jesus perform a fantastic miracle. A demon was throwing a helpless little boy on the ground, tormenting him, destroying his life. And the disciples had tried to exorcise this demon, but they didn't have any luck with it at all. So that meant Jesus had to step up and step in and do the dirty work himself. And he did. He pulled the demon out of the boy. He healed the boy and handed him back to his father. And then it tells us right there that the disciples were standing there watching all this happen and that they were amazed. It says, while everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. I am going to be betrayed into the hands of men. But they didn't understand a word he was saying. They just sat there with their mouths open, with vacant eyes. They couldn't grasp it. And then it ends with a really mysterious statement. It says, they were afraid to ask him about it. Wow. Afraid to ask a question. What does that mean, really, and why? Well, I tell you this much. The Bible never tells us why they were afraid. But there are Bible commentators who have taken a stab at that thing. And I'll share a couple of things that they said about it, because it's very interesting. One Bible commentator says they were afraid to ask questions because they were afraid to know more. Sometimes, you know, we just don't want to know more. We don't want to know the whole truth. Just give me the basic facts. Don't tell me too much. It's too heavy. It's too sad. Too much responsibility. So they didn't ask because they weren't sure they could handle it. Another Bible commentator says they didn't ask questions because they were baffled by it all, confused, puzzled. You know, we all have the advantage of looking back at the cross and the resurrection. But the disciples were looking forward at something that had never been heard of, had never been experienced before. And don't dismiss this third possibility of why they didn't ask questions. And this is strictly my idea, so take it for what it's worth. They didn't ask questions for the same reason that men won't ask for directions. They didn't want to look stupid in front of the other 11. I mean, Peter, John is sitting there thinking, Peter understands this thing pretty good. I'm not going to up and ask a dumb question in front of everybody. And then James is thinking the same thing about Matthew and on and on. And they didn't want to be the one to step up and ask that first question. So the reason could easily have been male ego. Never underestimate the frailty of the male ego. And every woman in here is wanting to say amen. I just know you are. The disciples were just normal men. And we have to realize they often acted and reacted the way we might have in these situations they were in. These extraordinary and amazing situations that they were thrown into. Oh, the things they witnessed. The things they saw were hard to understand and absorb. One of the most astounding lines in all Scripture to me, it is written over in the book of John in the 20th chapter. It tells about Mary Magdalene, how she comes running out of breath to tell Peter and John that the tomb is empty. They couldn't find Jesus. And then Peter and John, and they take off running towards the tomb. And John is there, and Peter rushes past him, and John leans over and looks in. And he writes of himself, he simply says, he saw and believed. Of all the things he was witness to for the past 3 years, and now he believes. Of all the questions he could have asked, of all the missed opportunities he had to look directly into the eyes of Jesus and ask a few precious questions. But now he believed. Don't wait to ask the right questions. You know, we sometimes let the older generation get away before we ask them all the questions that we wanted to ask. Don't let Jesus get away before you ask him everything you want to know, because he has all the answers, and he will give them to us in sometimes strange and unusual ways. But we will know when we get those answers. If only we take the time and the interest to ask the right questions. God bless the child who asks why over and over and over again. Come to him as a child, and the kingdom is yours. Amen. And let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we lay all of our questions of the heart on your altar, and we open our minds to answers and to glories of a life we cannot conceive with our human minds. Take us as children, as the children that we are, and walk us through each day and each task. In the name of the one who saved us all with his life, we ask this prayer. Amen.